This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. 2 hours away, under 2 hours away from the start of NFL free agency. The land rush begins. It's anything like last year? I don't know. Do you think people will get as angry if the Texans don't make any day one moves this year versus last year, Seth, knowing that they're operating with a little bit more financial constraint this year than last year?
Okay, they've already... Not technically, but they've already made a day one move in signing Sheldon Rankins.
Sure.
So since day one starts at what time today?
11 a.m. Central
11 a.m. Yeah. They signed Sheldon Rankins. I'm guessing it was agreed to over the weekend or whatever it's reported today. That Sheldon Rankins is already a move, at least in free agency. They've already made a trade. So I don't think so. It's not like that. Last year, I think people had this perception that the Texans were just going to sit on their hands and do absolutely nothing. And the reality was that they just waited 36 hours or so to get started. And then they made a huge splash. I think that you've already added Christian Kirk. You've already added Sheldon Rankins. The Christian Kirk is much more of a headline grabbing and, you know, potentially more impactful move. Yeah. I think now it's going to be... I think, by and large, most Texans fans weren't all that interested in DK Metcalf because of the price tag, the draft pick you would have had to give up. Although DK Metcalf did go for less than I thought he would. I thought it would be at least a couple second-round picks.
Yeah.
He goes for only a second-round pick. But they've just... most people feel like, all right, interior offensive line, wide receiver, defensive tackle, possibly a tight end, although it would get complicated. Those are the things you really want to address in free agency. And as long as they address those things, I'm not going to say people are going to be super excited about it, but they're going to be somewhat placated.
We said this time last year, and you bringing up the Metcalf trade. And again, for those who missed it, he got traded to the Steelers for a second-round pick, and then the Steelers almost immediately redid his deal or added 4 years onto his deal at $33 million a year. I felt this way last year. I feel even stronger about it now that the DK Metcalf trade went down the way it did. Teams have a far less of an appetite to trade high draft capital for the right to overpay somebody now. There was a time where that was the new thing.
Laramie Tunsil,
Khalil Mack, Deshaun Watson, I think, you know, falls into that bucket.
Jalen Ramsey,
specifically at the wide receiver position, Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams within days of each other a couple of off seasons ago. And you look at that, and it damages you in two places. It's a huge hit against the cap. And you're trading high-level draft capital to do that. You're getting double whammied. These deals have to work out so well for you to claim victory when you trade a first-round pick and then more for the right to pay somebody. You know, like even look at Stephon Diggs, the way it ended with Diggs in Buffalo. That was one of the more successful ones, and that relationship ended with him bellyaching his way out of town, you know? And so I think that, to me... this is the market. If you have a marquee player that has a year left on his deal, I think that the Bengals are going to find this out with Trey Hendrickson, especially now that Myles Garrett blew the roof off of the edge rusher market. Trey Hendrickson has been given permission to go find a trade partner for the Bengals to move him so he can get a new extension at the Myles Garrett, Max Crosby level. teams are just not going to, in my opinion, maybe I'll be wrong. I don't think teams are in the market or in the business anymore, Seth, of trading a first rounder or multiple first rounders for the right to give a guy a contract that eats up a bleep ton of cap space anymore. I think that's why Seattle got a very modest second round pick for DK Metcalf, because the Steelers knew we got to pay the guy.
Well, and look, the thing with DK Metcalf is, all right, he's going to make, is it 30 or 33 million per year?
It's an average of 30. You know the way they do these things. The 4 years that got added on were 33 a year. How the agents do it.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
The thing with Metcalf was, though, too, you're going to trade for him, but if you're one of those teams that's willing to pay $35 million per year, Chris Godwin is going to be a free agent in a few hours.
Yes.
And he's, when it comes to the character and football character, leadership, all of that, Chris Godwin is head and shoulders above DK Metcalf. Which makes me just wonder if the Steelers, who don't typically spend really big in free agency, even if I wonder what Godwin's going to get. Because Justin Jefferson makes $35 million per year.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, Godwin is a free agent. He's 29 years old.
He's been banged up.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets Jefferson money, but I think he gets 30. I think he gets over 30. We'll see. I was thinking about this weekend, and you and I are going to be hitting refresh on all these lists all day long. Like, people love NFL free agency, and the NFL has turned the offseason into its own industry. I mean, you got the regular season, you got the postseason, and the offseason in the NFL has so many milestones, Seth, and has so many facets to it. And everybody's got a draft. The NFL's draft is so much better than everybody else's. Everybody's got free agency. The NFL's free agency has now evolved into, I think, a better version of what it used to be, just because with player empowerment and more players agitating to get out of places.
Yeah.
It's the ripple effect. I can't think of one area of the offseason that any league does better than the NFL does. You might argue the NBA a few years ago, when guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant would hit the market, that first several days of NBA free agency was pretty marquee stuff. It's not that way anymore, you know?
Right. I don't know. Part of it is, all right, it's also the most popular sport by a large margin over any of the other ones. So any of the free agency stuff just gets covered more and more. So it's just, that's the world we live in, where the sports news cycle is a 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah,
I don't want to give Roger Goodell too much credit for it. Is what I'm saying. I think it's more of a sign of the fact that because of fantasy football, because of sports gambling now, and because of player movement, it's become more of a year-round sport.
Yeah.
It does. There's sometimes where I think of people I want to get in touch with throughout the year, like either in media or people who are still in the NFL. And I always think, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to reach out to them when they're less busy. And then I realize all of a sudden it's July. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is the 3-week window when they're less busy and they're on vacation.
Just,
yeah, it's all like it's round the clock. It's 11 months of a year of intensity.
No doubt. I think the free agency thing, and we're going to experience this today, like the sheer fact that there's just more players on an NFL roster, so there's always, always, always stuff happening. I think the NFL salary cap is easier to understand, too. Even though there's assets, there's facets of it that maybe aren't super radio-friendly, it's way more. The NBA CBA is so incomprehensible unless you are immersed and want to learn it. It's just, it's a hard cap to learn. I think even the NFL, like the damn schedule release, man, like they've made that an event. Like they just, they do the calendar so much better than all these other sports.
Yeah, and part of that, again, is I think more just the natural nature of the NFL. It's that, the schedule
games.
Release, it's 17 games.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And home field advantage matters a lot.
Yes.
Just the nature of the sport just, I think, appeals to the average fan, sports fan, way more in a lot for a lot of reasons. Like, you can still just, you don't have to follow it every single day to keep up with it, which it, ironically enough, because you don't have to follow it every single day, makes it more interesting to a larger number of people throughout the year. But yeah, the schedule release, especially given that, okay, you're thinking, okay, this, what's, this is when this quarterback's coming to town.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we'll have home field advantage. You already know you have home field advantage, but
prime,
you can kind of visualize of when it's going to be. When it, because there's only 17 games, oh, wow, this is a huge game versus probably a really good team in December. That's going to matter a whole lot.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's,
dude.
Yeah, and yeah. I, every year, I used to fight it. I used to think, like, oh, schedule release is dumb. Ah, yeah, bah, humbug. Now I'm dialed
well,
in.
Well, it helps.
I'm not we're not allowed to take a family vacation
in May when the schedule comes out. Yeah, yeah, it's, well, I mean, it helps when your team is good, obviously. It helps, one of the things you're looking for, when are the primetime games? Helps that your team is actually playing in some primetime games. Cold weather, although the Texans shouldn't have much of that this year. They play the two, they play the AFC and NFC West. So stuff like that, man. And I do think the other thing, too, that helps the NFL, Seth, unlike the NBA, like the NBA, they have their draft, and then the league is off the grid for 2 months. With the NFL, you have your draft, and the rookies are working out and practicing like a week later. They're in the facility. Like, you start to get the feel like, oh, spring is here. You know, here come OTAs. Here come...
You get... The rookie minicamp is the best because that's where...
Hot that's takes. Where,
because you get... You get so excited about rookies who are competing against nobody. And genuinely, like, even though they're not, yeah, there's not great competition out there, but there's also not enough numbers to actually compete.
No.
So all you do is you get to see your players and your new players in their practice uniform for the first time,
yep,
doing really athletic stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's like a combine where they're not even having a stopwatch attached to it. So yeah, hope springs eternal at that point.
Now,
he's like, oh my gosh, this guy looks, boy, he looks just as good as he did in all these combine videos, except he's doing it in a Texans uniform. Yeah.
I got excited about Lassiter last year, so I feel vindicated on that one. I was nervous about how skinny Kalen Bullock was. That ended up working out okay.
Yeah.
Skinny little chicken legs, and it worked out okay. Text message, what did Brian Burns get traded for last year from Carolina to the Giants? I feel like that's similar to Hendrickson. He got traded for a 2 and a 5 last year, Brian Burns did. Again, I don't think teams are wanting to trade unless it's a really good play. Like, the Vikings put Justin Jefferson on the market, they'd have probably got 2 firsts for Justin Jefferson from somebody. But it's, I think, gone are the days where a guy who's maybe that second tier of guy, and I think Metcalf is one of those guys, is getting the big first, you know, first and a third, like A.J. Brown did a few years ago on draft.
Yeah, GMs are saying, like, listen, to talking to a GM who's trying to trade for a player. You know, let's say William O'Brien, if he was trying to trade for Laremy Tunsil, what he should have been saying was like, listen, we're gonna have to give this guy a gigantic contract.
That's right.
I can't give up 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil and then give him a league-leading contract.
And who's got
Come
time
on, man.
For, who's got time
I'm
for
William,
that, Seth?
I'm William freaking O'Brien Esquire.
Who's got time to have those long-form conversations about, you know, doing what's best for your team that you work for?
Who's got time when you're also desperately trying to shed Jadeveon Clowney no matter what?
What a
we
day.
Just got to get him out of the building,
dude,
no matter what.
What a day that was, man. What
the,
a day.
The one thing that they could do, this is the idea, the all-time idea that I thought was really stupid when I first heard it, and yet now with time, I think it's brilliant, is the Mike Meltzer plan to allow tampering 24/7, 365.
Teams allow, can recruit guys?
Yeah. A coach should just be able to go into a press conference and say, hell yeah, we want that guy to wait till free agency because we're going to go after him hardcore.
Okay,
yeah.
So that, would an environment like that, it'll never happen, but it's really fun to think about. I feel like the Texans would... Okay. I feel like the Texans, if D'Amico were to play ball with being allowed to tamper 24/7, 365, I feel like it would be an incredible asset to the Texans just because, are you telling me that D'Amico Ryans, who could not be a more charming guy, but very genuine at the same time, you're telling me he's allowed to go talk to any player that he wants to convince him to be a Texan? I feel like that would be a real asset, and yet I feel like there's some level of honor with D'Amico Ryans that even when it's legal, he would feel dirty doing it, you know? Like an honor code of some sort.
He can overcome that.
Okay.
You know, it took him a little while to get into the coach speak version of lying.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not lying, it's coach speak.
Coach speak.
Where he'll get up there and he'll say some coach speak that you feel like, okay, those aren't his genuine feelings, but I get why he has to say that.
Yeah.
It would just take him a little while to come around.
How do you think?
Because that'd be the fun thing is after games, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's
like when
prime
you see
tamper time.
You see Kevin O'Connell coming over and cozying up to C.J. Stroud. Oh.
Oh, man. We would have so much content, dude.
That would be
awesome,
man. We
wouldn't know what to
do
with it. Oh, my God.
That would be so much fun.
That's where I'd need C.J. mic'd up every game. I need to hear what this a-hole is saying to him right now.
Yeah.
Got to be mic'd up. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Free agency begins in an hour and 43 minutes. So be ready. Be ready. All right. Some good news on the injury front for non-Texans. Obviously, we're in the offseason. Would have been great to get news on Tank Dell that was good, but we didn't. But good news for the other two teams. I think good news for the other two teams here in town on the injury front that we will get to coming up next.